You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
I see a family resemblance here.
Oh, you bet, man. Yeah, family resemblance.
Really good.
I'm with KZFR. I had you on a show once.
Oh, nice.
Banjo guy.
Yeah, okay.
I can't remember your name, but banjo guy's good enough.
Jack O'Shea, yeah. Studio 416 with Dan Carter.
Dan Carter.
Thank you.
There.
Yeah, that was about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
About when you got to Chico, right?
Yep, about when I got to Chico. Remind me your name. I'm Jack, Banjo Jack.
I'm Guillermo.
Guillermo, and you may have introduced me to Dan Carter. Somebody did that.
Kind of. I'm a big live music supporter.
Cool.
How important is the farmer's market to what you do, man? You had just delivered a whole bunch of organic food.
But that's my girlfriend. It's
okay.
Important to both of us, and that's why we're wearing masks and doing it up today.
Yeah.
And playing, not for tips, but just to say hi to people and keep the music alive. Yeah.
Right. One thing you tell people about coming out to the farmer's market, what would that be?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's everything fresh and beautiful that you could have, all the produce. And it's nice to see and be seen. And here we are 6 feet apart, you know.
We are 6 feet apart.
Doing our social distance.
Social distance.
Yeah.
May of 2020. Imagine community segment here on your community. We shut down. And it's pretty fitting since the first phase of reopening of businesses shuttered during the COVID-19 emergency starts tomorrow. And I'm sure for all our listeners, we all got a hallelujah. And he talked about a family resemblance comment Banjo Jack had made, and that was in reference to our N95 masks back when they weren't prevalent or in style. And actually, I don't think they are in style at this moment. Ironically, right now is the first time I've left my house without a mask, and I remember it halfway to the studio thinking about this very comment. Oh, well. Anyway, last month we aired a Without a Roof segment in this time slot due to the overwhelming need to raise awareness about community members sheltering in place without a roof during a pandemic. Think your shelter in place is rough. The other reason, too, you know, I have an editorial staff of three, me, myself, and I. I really didn't want to air such an uplifting segment that you're going to hear tonight when we were all kind of down, huh? We could really use a little uplifting today, tomorrow, and the next day. So that's what we're going to be doing. And I'm wicked grateful to return to the Imagining Community Project and to spread some smile throughout the community. Smile. Do it right now. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to stop and smile. Felt good. As we reflect back to brighter times in Chico, starting with these additional farmers market vignettes from March 21st here on People Power Radio.
I'm here with Eartha at Chico Rice, and she's going to give us all the love and care about how important Chico farmers market is and getting locally grown rice. Welcome to KZFR, Eartha.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Bill.
So what do we got going on? You got up to 15 pounds of brown rice. I bought some blonde rice. How are the rice sales going?
Well, of course, the rice sales are great because there's no rice in the grocery stores. And I've just had assurance from the owner of the rice company who mills it and bags it for me that he will save rice for me. So we're going to keep having rice. So that's really good news.
It is. So is this your business?
It's not.
It's not?
It's not. It's a bonus cousin of mine. Like, we're not related through blood, but through family ties that are third-generation rice farmers. And they started this organic, freshly milled project about 6 years ago. And I've been at it for about 5 years. And it's just really amazing rice. The fresh milled difference is totally obvious. And you can't really go back to anything else once you've tried it.
ChicoRice.com. That's easy to remember. ChicoRice.com.
Right.
Maybe one sentence about how important it is to support local farmers and local ag.
Well, you know, it's interesting. This new time that we're in has brought more customers to the market because people are starting to realize how important it is to shop locally and for our health. And for the farmers, of course, like this market, so happy that it's being considered essential because it's definitely essential to our livelihood. And as I'm talking with customers today, they're assuring me that it's all.
which is an heirloom beefsteak, and then it's also the common name for larger.
Sherry's calling.
So like it will be beefsteak type.
Oh, okay.
Sherry's calling. So,
got it. But it's an heirloom, the one that you have here.
Yeah. And then on my list that I'll send out, all the F1s are all the ones that are hybrids.
Okay.
So and then the rest, and then.
Sherry Scott, we're out here at the farmer's market, and tell us how business is going and how you're delivering six packs and seeds in the community.
Yeah, well, it's been a really busy day. I know people are looking at growing their own food in these times, and
with Fran, who's going through her radishes. She's gonna go through her radishes before she's.
Well, for us, actually, people realize that they need to have food, and that they need to have secure food that is coming from a secure location. And so we've actually had quite a lot of new customers for our community supported agriculture program. Which is really a blessing. Yeah, people want us to have secure food, and they really want to support us right now. And so I've had a lot of people join CSA. I've had people, like, offering to work on our tractors for free. And people just realize that the time we are in this world is that the essential things in life are food, earth, and community. And that's what they need to support, is farmers that support the earth and support community. And here we are at the market, and we're all doing that, and it's a beautiful thing.
You know, I got to play that over my cell phone for for Fran today. That one, I really brought a nice kind of feeling to me hearing that. Fran kind of knocked that out of the house. And once again, for listeners just joining, Guillermo Mash here for Imagining Community, joining the Farmer's Market. You're joining the Farmer's Market segment, which was from March 21st. And I just bought a 50-pound bag of rice, which is an awesome, awesome coincidence. Youth for Justice, made possible, generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2011, Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity. We need as much of that as possible. By producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsofart.art. And by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his tradition of caring for Chico's natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available. Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties. You can get them, reach them, 518-0924, and do so. We love all of our underwriters, and those two, we're just shouting out. All right, you know, coming up next, a really special segment for folks that are familiar with Butte County Local Food Network and the work that Pam Larry does in our community for all things community agriculture, organically grown, locally produced. And stay tuned for and towards the end of the show, Pam's going to give us an update from some beautiful work she's doing up on the ridge, bringing up food twice a week to our friends up in the Concow area who are just. Whammy. And while I think of it, too, I was really blessed. I interviewed Jessica Olson with kind of an update on another program that's bringing community-supported agriculture up to folks on the ridge that need it, and it's called Team Rubicon. And you're going to hear more about that. But I was really blessed. I kind of volunteered. I volunteered. Plus, I was the documentarian, and I got some really good photos and did a bunch of radio interview, a lot of B-roll, a lot of conversation around Victory Garden 2.0 Blitz. Something that very first time I met Pam Larry, she was talking about it. And you know what I found out in a year and a half I've known Pam Larry? If Pam Larry's talking about doing something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And no further ado, I think you really like this piece. I had a lot of fun putting this together. And if you like what you're hearing, I know you do, tip this show. And I want to say thank you once again to all the wonderful folks that contributed during our virtual pledge drive, and for all the folks that continue to support your community radio station. Here with Pam Larry at the Victory 2.0 Gardens here on Laburnum. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Laburnum. How excited is this for you, Pam?
Oh, this is amazing. We have been working so hard behind the scenes. This little area right here, Amy Roseman organized it all.
Wow. How cool is it to be shoveling dirt for the first day of Victory Gardens 2.0? Shoveling soil. Hi, Allie. I've heard a lot of things about Allie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
They're still trying to get out. We're gonna get. We don't want to. Yeah. And we don't want anyone struck by a truck during an interview.
Not today.
You know, that's a big truck. How happy are you?
I'm stoked. This is great.
Yeah.
It's this, going everything so is smooth. Everything is just perfectly rolling out.
Yeah.
I love seeing happy people.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So cool.
Beautiful skies.
Yeah.
What?
Thank you for coming out.
Yeah. My pleasure.
The soil into the back of your truck,
mm-hmm.
and then. Tony over there, the woman with the gray hair and the ponytail, will help you get, if you show her what you have here, she'll help you get your supplies.
Okay.
We have, you brought a drill, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we have, do you have,
I have a couple of them, I think I have three of them.
Oh, okay, great.
A few of those,
staple guns. Okay, but I don't think you have hardware cloths.
Oh, no, it doesn't on there, yeah.
Very many more show up because most of them loaded for all their gardens and working all day.
Okay.
But you will be coming back one time because your afternoon crew is different.
Yeah, the 145.
Yeah, that crew is different.
And there's details on how it's built.
There's a thing in here. I'm not real sure I understand them real well, but basically it's, you know, the four posts.
Yeah.
And then you put the wood. If you have a 4x4, so you have to be sure and grab two from the shorter end and two from the longer end for the smaller one. And then Tony will help.
Okay, cool.
And then you have to grab, they're called flakes of the bales.
Oh, okay.
6 for the 4x4 and 8 to 10 for the 4x8. And then Tony has the plants over there and the hardware and everything for you in little bags.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. You're on his team. Jake, meet Rachel. And
Rachel.
Hi.
Got one more person.
Yeah.
So you're the lead, Jake? You're the lead?
Apparently
the lead crew?
So.
All right. Well, thanks for being the leader. I appreciate that.
Oh, I forgot.
How exciting is this for you, Tony?
It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting. Are you interviewing me now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good.
I am.
That's fine.
I am. You look really happy.
I am happy. This is exciting. I'm happy that something's being done with this land. I felt bad for the last 10 years that I've been back here, that mm-hmm. nothing's really happened back here. It's been neglected, and now it's alive, and people are excited, and I'm excited about the project, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I was here like a year ago, back here doing digging some holes and cutting some limbs, and it looks wonderful back here. And thanks for being the staging area for Victory Garden.
really fun, and it's a perfect day. Gorgeous.
Can you tell us about Pam's energy?
Yeah, it's motivating. It's inspiring, and in a time when we could be really sad about things that are going on in the world, she...
For bringing people together, they're like food. Always have food.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Planet. She's crying.
It is so cool. This is just all these people have come together, and I just look at them, you know. It's just been so much work behind the scenes, and
I just appreciate all you do.
Thanks.
Yeah, it must be emotional for you.
Yeah, it is. It's just really sweet.
Yeah, I saw.
Family, and so they've got two little kids and want to help the kids learn how to grow food. And
this is like the staging area.
This is the staging area, and we've got two different sizes of wood. Actually, three different sizes of wood. Two of them are for the 4x4s, and then two different ones. There's a big diesel truck getting ready to go, all loaded up with soil. Woo, woo! And
nice.
We've got bales of straw hay, rice straw, whatever, and we've got hardware cloth, we've got cardboard, we have screws, and over here are plants, and it's just amazing watching these people. And we got it all organized. It was not easy organizing a bunch of volunteers and a bunch of gardeners with different schedules and requests to work together and all that kind of fun stuff, but we did it, and every glitch, it just kind of magically worked, and I think that's because this thing wants to be born.
I was glad I was here to give you a hug, because you
it
was emotional. I'll give you one more hug.
Sounds
the
great.
Radio. The radio.
Radio
the
radio hug.
Radio hug. All right, let's hug. Clutching her hands, looking up, and she was just so happy to see that first truck leave. And that's the profile picture on Imagining Community on Facebook. Look us up and give us a like. And for folks joining, that was Pam Larry from the Victory 2.0 installation. That's not it, though. I got some really choice audio interviews with the two installations that I was involved with here in Chico. And the other thing that's kind of fitting is that was Saturday, March 14th, which was the very last Saturday before the shutdown, and we're looking like this Saturday will be the very first Saturday since things will start to get lifted. So we know that Pam Larry will be out there installing gardens soon. So here we go. Here's some of the installations, and be happy, be well, be you. All right, Jonathan, I'm here for KZFR, Victory Garden 2.0. You're the first day of the rollout, Jonathan. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for you guys to be here, and I appreciate this opportunity to start a garden.
Yeah, I understand you were part of the Paradise Fire, the displaced from the Paradise Fire, so it'd be nice having a garden to tend, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anything kind of cultivating growth is something I feel like is healing. Mm-hmm. So,
what are you looking forward to the most about having a garden out here?
I think probably growing my own produce. I think it'd really be nice to grow my own melons.
Wow. What kind of melons again?
They are a hybrid between honeydew and cantaloupe, I believe.
Nice. I wonder what we would call that. Honey can't. No, that doesn't sound right. Honey can't. Honey will.
At the seed library at the Butte County Library.
I do have a friend. She went there and she gave me some of her seeds, so I'm looking to grow some carrots and broccoli as well from that.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, there was a seed swap, I believe.
Yeah, there's actually, I don't know what they call it, a seed library at the library. You can go in there and they have a like card catalog. It's alphabetized by seed, and you just take the seeds and write down what you took. And then the goal is that you grow the plant and then you save the seeds and then you donate seeds back.
That's really wholesome. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a great way for... Yeah. It's definitely a great way to get...
Of course you have. That's why you know so much.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a raised bed before?
Yes.
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 You didn't even have to answer. I'm like, yeah, yes. You're a raised bed
person. I have learned the hard way of what not to do.
What shouldn't we do?
Build it too wide okay. and too long. Wide is the biggest thing. I think I did yeah. a 6x10 or something one time, and it was like I couldn't get in there.
Not now, but like another day.
Painting it? Yeah, it's your garden.
Moving around like a stream. Nothing too like realistic, but something just colorful. I think it'd be nice.
It would be.
What kind of soil do we have over here?
We got that from the worm farm, we think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake works for Grub. It looks like worm farm. Yeah, and Jake would know worm farm soil like nobody's business.
Is it like the one on Neil Road?
Yeah, but that's actually gone. It just moved.
Oh.
But same one.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You're familiar with the one that was on Neil Road?
Yeah. I'd pass by it when I would commute.
Nice. College student?
Yeah, I'm at Chico State now.
Chico State? You're real close.
Oh, yeah. It's about a 10-minute walk. So
what are you taking? Nice. What are you taking?
Chemistry and electrical engineering classes.
Double E.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm trying.
I'm a retired IT guy. I knew a lot of double E's.
Oh, wow.
It's a great degree. That's a tough degree.
It definitely is tough. But I think it's worth it.
It is. What was the other one?
Chemistry.
Wow, you must be studious.
Yeah, I've... been pursuing my education for many years, and I'm hoping to do biomedical engineering at Stanford University.
Beautiful. Beautiful story. Nice. This would be a nice little way to dawdle around a little bit while you're thinking about, you know, chemistry formulas and double E formulas working in your garden.
Definitely. I look forward to it. I appreciate your guys' help.
Because this is like standing up.
These will self-seed, and they'll just keep growing more. So
orange, this is a beautiful calendula? Flower.
Yeah, mm-hmm. These are either orange or yellow.
Or yellow? I didn't know that.
And you said that'll help kinds, with the so insects, just, Rachel?
Yeah, they help repel bugs.
Nice.
And then you can eat the flowers. You can make them into a tea. They're medicinal. They're anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, they're really good. I like to put them in tacos and stuff because they're pretty.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Tacos.
Salad.
Tacos.
Flower tacos.
The yeah, you,
Jonathan
culinary.
Lit right up. Tacos.
I'm
whoa.
Now.
They got cilantro and yeah.
Oh, I know. Taco garden right here.
Yeah, taco garden.
Your lettuce.
I know. Get some tomatoes in here.
So when you're having your first taco night.
Yeah, yeah. Get an avocado tree back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just as much fun as it sounds. And, you know, Jonathan, he only lives like 2-3 blocks from me. I should get over there and see if he's making tacos yet. And I want to do some shout-outs for, you know, how you can learn more about Victory Gardens and more about the Butte County Local Food Network. Go out to BC. All right, we're here to do a 4x8 garden with the... What's your name, ma'am?
Jody Shepherd.
Jody Shepherd, thanks for letting us come out here. So how excited are you for this?
Yeah.
You have some ideas on what you want to grow?
I Two, I have a niece that lives with me, and she really wants to grow cucumbers, so Ooh. We're going to see how that goes.
Nice.
I tried to grow tomatoes, but they got too hot out here, so I'm going to have to figure out what varieties to plant that get full sun, like, really hot. So
it seems like you might take advantage of the classes Pam's thinking of doing, having people come out and help you with your garden?
Yeah, I have heard about those, and I was interested in signing up and learning.
Thank you, ma'am. Joni, we're done putting in the garden. What do you think?
I think it looks great. I'm so excited to see how well they bloom out here and mm-hmm. grow up. So I'm really excited for the edible flowers and the broccoli, particularly.
Yeah. Yeah. And your niece was so darn cute, Maisie, huh?
Yeah, she's really going to have fun with this out here and helping me grow it, grow all of our fruit.
God, I could spend a whole segment kind of just talking about how blessed an experience it was, but I've reached out to both Lee and Fran several times, and it was just such a beautiful thing. You know, I got to have dinner with them several times. Well, every night. I had dinner every night with them, and Fran and Lee are about the same age, and their kids are about the same ages apart as I was. This next segment, though, is kind of interesting. Is I had plans. I said, hey, I'm coming back. I'm going to listen to this, take all stamps and stuff and go, hey, I've got an outline now and come back and finish. But we all know why I didn't come back and, quote unquote, get some follow-up interviews. So I'm really looking forward to doing that. But I don't think there's a better way to start all the audio I have, which is a lot more than I'm going to play tonight. But towards the end of my stay, I sat down with Lee and their older son, Oren. And, you're going to hear it right now. Peep-a-pow Radio. All right, we'll start with you, Orion. Please tell our listeners your name and something fun about living on a farm.
My name's Orin, and something fun about living on a farm is, well, you're always out in nature, like always outside, and it's just fun because it's not like living in a neighborhood. It's like where there's some kids, but not many, and it's a lot of outside play.
Outside play. Have you ever lived in a neighborhood?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is kind of a neighborhood. It only has, like, 6 people on it. Mm-hmm. But, no, I don't think so.
Where's your nearest friend?
Maybe about a 5-minute walk.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Yeah, but at my old house, we had, like, no friends nearby.
Mm-hmm. So you like having more friends closer here, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. What about you, Dad? What tell the listeners your name and, what's fun about living on a farm?
Well, my name's Lee. What's fun about living on a farm? Oh, there's always so many things to do. You can never get bored. Going to work always makes me happy. And the fact that it's right out of the front door or the back door makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can work and be a parent at the same time. That's functional. Maybe not fun, but functional.
I think I'm going to do this because I'm living on a farm right now. Short period of time.
Yeah.
But this is Guillermo Mash. And some of the fun things I've had here is waking up in a barn. That's really, really cool. And this is a wonderful family, and I really enjoyed getting to know you folks. How about, what's the coolest thing about being a kid on a farm?
Well, the coolest thing for me being a kid on a farm is I get to do a lot of stuff that most kids don't. Like, most parents wouldn't let kids have machetes at the age of seven. Mm-hmm. But for me, I got my first machete when I was seven. And then I found another one, and then I had two big old rusty machetes. But now I just got a clean and... Also, like, I got my first pocket knife when I was seven. Most kids don't get pocket knives or... put it away. When I'm not using the machete, I have to have it in a sheath.
What were we doing with knife safety? You got to whittle with me for a good amount of time, respect the knife, right, before you could get your own. And that's what we're working on right now with the machete, is to respect the machete, its potential for damage and hurt to ourselves. You can do a lot of good work with it, but you got to respect it to do that work, right? Yeah.
But sadly, my dad says I have to wait till I'm 11 to get a hatchet.
Well, that's another story, huh?
Well, that might be the saddest thing we hear tonight. May that be. All right, it's the adult's turn. Okay, adults, here's your chance.
Yeah.
What's the coolest thing, Lee, about raising a family on a farm?
Ooh, exposing our boys to nighttime walks, listening to owls.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been out on this land now for close to 7 years. Over 7 years. And during that time, both of our boys, we've gone on nighttime walks and just used our ears.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some moonlight, maybe there's not. And just listening and seeing what we hear. There's resident owls, great horned owls on the farm that are here during the winter. They kind of migrate up to higher elevations, I believe, in the summer. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're listening to the geese go north. We're listening to the cranes go north and seeing them and hearing them. Yeah, I mean, it's just a great space for us to explore together.
Yeah.
And to also let them be free so they can explore by themselves to mm-hmm. some degree. You know, not with a machete in their hand solo, but you know, they can explore and really take it in, and then we can explore together and see what we share. I enjoy that.
Yeah, you know, that's been kind of the coolest thing I've had so far too, is just the ability just to kind of walk around and check things out. But some of the things I got really enamored with is all the different tractors and stuff there are on the property. And I'm going to go through some pictures here in a bit and just kind of had some curiosity around what all the different tractors are for, what all the different farm equipment is for, because I think it's pretty cool all the equipment you got here on the farm.
All right, Youth for Justice made possible. Generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Hodges Nursery and Gifts on the Midway in Durham, a 5-acre nursery growing a variety of landscape plants. And to sign up for their gardening e-newsletter, visit Hodges Nursery. That's Hodges. CSU Grub Farm out on West Sacramento here on People Power Radio.
I'd like to get just a little sound bite with Larry, the tractor guy. You said the fun thing is keeping them running, huh?
Yeah, we're trying to keep them running.
That's a full-time job, half-time job?
That's a full-time job.
Full-time job.
Yeah, you never know when it's going to break down or how often.
And boy, when a tractor breaks down, someone needs it, right?
Well, that's why you're working it.
Nice. How long have you been working tractors, Larry?
40 years.
40 years? You seem maybe early 60s?
Let me get by you here.
Yeah.
Doing this for 20 years now, mm-hmm. You know, for the farmers, tilling and mowing and no, because I got to kind of stay low-key myself.
Right. I got some greenery in here. What do we got? Wow, this looks cool.
Yes. And so, what have we got? Okay, so on the far side here...
Hoop house number three.
Yeah, hoop house three. We've got zucchini planted up the middle mm-hmm. with kale on the outsides. Now, before the zucchini, we had radishes. Uh-huh. And so this is a, what do you call it? A hot space, if you will. You
know, the radishes we had for salad?
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, that's what we were eating last night.
We're growing, I like it.
Yeah. and so with the hoop house in winter, it's always neat to try and look at, okay, what can we squeeze into this small amount of space? And so the radishes grew just fine in between the kale, harvested those, pulled them out, and then now we've planted the zucchini. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to harvest the kale at least twice more, perhaps even three times more. As those zucchinis fill out and they start to dominate the space, then it'll be time to take out the kale. Over this side, we have three rows of lettuce, and in between, we have radishes up the middle as well. just cropping two different things, because the radish will come out, mm-hmm. and that'll and then that'll provide the space as the lettuce want to head up and really maximize their head
size.
These
will go right to a CSA box, or they get planted out in the field?
These are going to be right into harvest for CSA and for markets and for restaurants.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, these will stay here.
How long did it take this kale to get this size? How long ago did you plant the kale?
This on the first week of January.
Wow. So
this
it's only
year.
Been a little over 2 months.
Yeah, and we've already harvested from it multiple times.
Okay. Wow.
Kale, we just harvested last week, less than a week ago, and you can already see how big the leaves are again. They're ready for another pick. They'll grow really vigorously in this kind of protected environment.
So those, you just pick some leaves and then... The plant keeps growing, right?
Yeah. So, for example, this one right here, we'll take off these three larger leaves. Mm-hmm. It'll take us down to just this tiny, small growth. And within a week, it'll be back to this size. Kale's pretty vigorous. And it's amazing how much it can put out.
Yeah.
You know? Because you pick it and you go, wow, that's so tiny. And then here we are a week later.
Yeah.
It's charging.
It amazes me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so this hoop house right now is...
You planning on making more now that you got more land, or...?
In time. You know, they do take some investment up front, and then over time they can pay themselves back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, we do. We like these things. Uh-huh. They allow us to continue harvest through winter.
Mm-hmm.
In the dead of winter, we can still be pulling out stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also means we can get a jump on the season, as you see with those tomatoes.
So I've been talking with Fran. I mean, it's not the right terminology, but you're kind of like the production supervisor. You're kind of the one that gets the schedule together, and you're kind of looking at what needs to be planted and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's a great balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and between us all here on the farm, we can keep it all flowing really nice and smooth, you know?
Yeah. Really enjoyed the experience and the people they're working for, so.
Nice.
You can't say enough about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we hope that we can create a minimal stress, a positive environment, and recognize that we're doing good work and doing it well. So.
Yeah, I think you're accomplishing that.
Yeah.
Oh, these look beautiful. Oh, wow, it's like 10 degrees warmer in here.
Oh, yeah, we have a little heat mat here.
Ah.
Look, this basil's just germinating.
I'll get a picture of that.
Yeah.
So we're in, is it just called the greenhouse? Didn't you call it something else?
Oh, we just call it these are our greenhouses, but then we have our high tunnels, which are over in the field.
Oh, high tunnels.
Yeah.
Just because they're higher?
Well, because the greenhouse is what we grow the little babies in, but the high tunnels we grow directly in the ground.
Got it.
Like we grow lettuces for market and stuff like that in the high tunnels. And then we have two greenhouses, and we just moved them here. This is like really fresh that we're here. That one you gotta really yank on. There we go.
Oh, wow.
And then here's another one where I've got different stuff
in. I can tell you really like doing, you just like being on the farm.
Yeah, I do. I love it. I said, oh, it's because I don't have a boss. The Mother Earth is my boss.
Yeah.
And they were like, whoa. They were literally tripped out by the answer. For some reason, they were like, really? You could tell they were just like, whoa.
All right, Guillermo Mash here for the May 7th edition of Imagining Community on KZFR 90.1 FM. And it's always a joy to have
in Conkhouse, fresh organic, locally grown foods. So I contacted a bunch of my farmer friends, and we have been bringing up food that's either been donated by them or reduced price, or sometimes we're paying full price, just because we think it's important to also support farmers.
Yes.
And we've partnered with Su Chi, which is just an amazing thing. I heard about them off and on since the fire, but June through the end of the year, and we got part of the scholarship, part of the grant, and then hope that when we reevaluate the successes, that we'll be able to finish out the end of the year. And just so excited about all that's going on, and things are popping again after sitting dormant for about a month and a half. Gosh, how long has it been? March? Yeah, anyway.
I can't even keep track of the days.
I know. But I had been to Concow many times before, but it's been really heartwarming to see the community there. Those folks are really connected, and I'm just, you know, I hear there have been troubles up there, but what I'm seeing is just a tremendous amount of support and love and community. So, yeah it's great.
I'm definitely heading up there tomorrow with Jesse Olson. We're going to end the show with their Team Rubicon interview, but I'm going to stay on her home. And air it next month on Imagining Community, you know, seeing the wonderful stuff that's going on up there. And I know you were so, so excited about sushi. Did I say that right? But maybe Su-chi, you could repeat that and tell us.
Su-chi. So it's spelled T-Z-U-C-H-I. It's a Buddhist organization. They came here right after the fire. My daughter had a farm up in Concow, and we just sang the praises of this organization just over and over and over again, just how supportive they were. And I have just been, you know, working with them now, just watching, you know, how the breadth of their you know, this is the first time I've worked with them, and I am just like flubbergasted with how supportive they are and how open they are to make sure that people, as best as they can, you know, they're able to fund the projects that come their way. And they're funding this. They weren't able to help us out with something, but then they looked somewhere else to be, because every kind of grant has people donate with a certain intention, and so they have to find matches. And they kept looking, to get us more money for the runs up there twice a week. I'm so excited that they are funding the rebuilding of the Maidu camp at the campground.
Well, that's a big deal.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. And I just am so excited and so proud to live here and you know, be, I guess I can call them partners, you know, because the minute you start working together like that, you do become partners. I'm just proud that we're in partnership.
I'm missing it.
Yeah. And it is imagining. And yeah. I'm a member of the Paradise Community Guild, and they one of their mottos is being the community that we want to live in. You know, so
exactly. I miss those community events. That was the funnest thing I did in season one. Was just, you know, there was film showings and stuff at Blackbird. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully this pandemic will be open up over soon enough. Because, gosh, we were so excited to be doing that Beck event in June, right? That mm-hmm. And then the whole thing fell through because, well, we all know why it fell through, you know?
Yes, we do. We do. But hopefully... composting center. We have a vision of at least one of these in every city in the county as a model for how people can convert the and PTSD and shock and all that kind of stuff, but it's very exciting to see all the wonderful stuff going on to create a strong local food system at a time when it's never Enjoy. Bye.
Thanks. All right, Gamma Mash for the May 7th edition of Imagining Community on KZFR 90.1 FM. And I'm real pleased to have Jesse Olson online with Team Rubicon. And welcome to KZFR, Jesse Olson.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I think our listeners would like to know a little bit about your bio and what your responsibilities are for Team Rubicon and what you guys are doing here in the North State.
Yeah, that'd be great. I've been with Team Rubicon since, August of last year, but my history with them goes back a little bit further than that. Right after the campfire, when we lost our home, I met them at the LAC, where we were receiving all of the services from the campfire. And you know, I, like other campfire survivors, was feeling very lost. Where my first encounter with them was. And when I was reminded of them again at the year anniversary of the campfire, I remembered that feeling and said, you know, that's really where I need to be. And I joined them. So, yeah, I joined up and soon became a leader in the organization. And I am now running the ops here, the operations here, in this county and others surrounding the area. And we're doing some good work here during COVID-19.
What's the skinny on Team Rubicon and what their mission is? And then we can dive into what you're doing in the North State.
Right. Well, Team Rubicon is a
now. I think that could easily scale up depending on need. As things unfold, we don't know how long this is going to go on, and we don't know how.
How do people volunteer to get on some of these operations or maybe even to know where?
Put your skills to use and tell us what days you're available, and we will take you. We will find a place for you to volunteer.
Awesome.
We deploy all over the world. We go to the Bahamas. We go to Africa. We go all over the world where we're needed. Earthquakes, tsunamis, you name it. If wherever there's a need, if there's something going on in the world and we're needed, we're there.
Wow, I was going to make a joke, kind of say, well, we've had a lot of national disasters here in Butte County, Jesse. I'm like, well, I don't think we can have a tsunami. And I'm like, oh my God, if the dam had broke, we might as well call that a tsunami. So you just got to count your blessings.
And, a group of Marines were just aghast at what was going on in Port-au-Prince after the earthquake. And there just wasn't a fast enough response as far as they were concerned to helping the people there. And they bought tickets and they self-deployed. They just went. And they found a way to get in and they started helping people. And after it all was said and done, they realized that there was a really big need for people who knew how to get things done, who had the ability to deploy at any moment and had the skills that veterans have to do this kind of work. And they started the veteran. Private individuals, we don't take government funds. And it's just a very strong culture, and I've been so impressed. Everything is just so well.